This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker unveiled his budget repair bill last month. That bill proposed to curb most collective bargaining rights for most public employees and ask them to increase contributions for benefits. Thus began a month of protests by workers and occupations of the Capitol building in Madison. Democratic members of the state assembly even fled the state to deny a quorum so that the vote on that bill could not take place. Public attention across the United States has been focused on this state and on this pivotal bill. Governor Walker, meanwhile, has attempted to downplay the bill, saying it is merely a modest request of state employees. To discuss these events, I'm joined on the phone by Robert Craig. He is Executive Director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin. Hello, Robert, and thanks for joining us today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So what makes this bill so controversial and so important?
Well, it's interesting in your setup. You talked about how Governor Walker said these were very modest proposals. That is the way he presented them on February 11th and suggested that all he was doing in his budget repair bill was to have public employees pay more of their fair share on pensions and health care. Within the bill, it was very clear that he went much further than that. In fact, he had a series of measures that actually either completely eliminated the rights of some public employees to have unions, and for most of the others, set up so many barriers that unions would be almost entirely impossible. And it became clear immediately that this was an attempt to essentially abolish public sector unions in Wisconsin, except for police and firefighters. And that was a power play in order to shift the balance of power in the state even further towards corporate right-wing Republicans, which Scott Walker is a very right-wing Republican. And so he was going to do it within a week. He introduced it on a Friday, February 11th, and they plan to act on it. He has a legislature that's rubber-stamped all of his proposals. And so the only thing that could possibly stop it was people taking to the streets. And the result was, as everyone knows now, internationally, was the greatest series of street protests in Wisconsin in four decades at least, starting that Tuesday and then going on for over 3 weeks. And so it was really the fact that it was extremely extreme agenda packaged as moderate, and that there was no other way to stop it other than for people to take to the streets.
Well, this would curb collective bargaining rights. It would effectively destroy unions in Wisconsin. Are workers being asked to make any other sacrifices?
Well, there was within the proposal was requirements that they pay over 12% of their health insurance costs and also 5.5% of their pension costs. The public employee unions quickly conceded those points because the right has done a very good job in Wisconsin, the United States, in scapegoating public employees and making it seem like their benefits are are way above what people in the private sector get, although the research shows that their overall compensation is lower than comparable private sector workers. So the union strategically accepted those concessions because those were what Walker said he was doing, and went after obviously the abrogation of union rights, which it quickly became clear was something that was highly unpopular. In fact, that fundamental right of workers was much more popular, was much more solid support across Wisconsin and the country than even strong union supporters such as myself and others had anticipated. And so it quickly became not about benefits but about rights during this debate.
Well, let's look at where things stand now with this bill. I understand the bill has passed through the state assembly. Can you tell us how that vote unfolded?
Yeah, it's gone through both the state Senate and the state assembly and even been signed by Governor Walker. It was initially blocked because the Wisconsin state constitution says you need 20 state senators in order to do a fiscal bill. And so and there were 19 Republicans, so the 20th person in the chamber had to be a Democrat. So the 14 Democratic state senators is the only way to block immediate passage of this measure left the state. And that created a stalemate. It's kind of like a Senate filibuster at the national level in the United States. It's a procedural move. It was controversial nonetheless. And so there was much back and forth during the weeks of protests. Eventually, what Walker's people decided to do in the legislature was to strip the bill of the direct fiscal components and pass it without the Democrats. They did it without notice, in fact, violating the state's open meeting laws, which require 24 hours notice, without even having the bill in front of the conference committee that was constituted, and then passed it through both houses of the Senate and Assembly. There are some legal questions as to whether they actually did strip all the fiscal elements. There are also legal questions about whether they actually passed the same different versions of the bill, which would be illegal. Another issue, of course, as I mentioned, was the open meetings laws, which require not only that the bill be posted, but that there be 24 hours notice so that people can actually go and bear witness to what's going on. And in addition, it has to be accessible to the public. It was done in an extremely small room, the conference committee was, where people couldn't get in even to see what was going on. And so, what happened was that the Secretary of State, who is separately elected, he's actually a progressive Democrat, Doug LaFollette, delayed actual publication of the law after the governor's signature to March 25th, which he has a constitutional right to do. And then yesterday, a judge actually enjoined publication of the bill based on the open meetings law violation. So right now, the law has been passed. It's been signed by Governor Walker. It's not in effect, and it's in legal limbo until the court case proceeds past the judge who ruled yesterday.
Well, sounds like there's a legal challenge to this bill. How else are people fighting back against this bill?
In addition to the legal challenges, the movement on the ground has continued, and it's funneled into two different areas. One is recall elections. Wisconsin's one of 18 states in the United States that allows a recall of a state legislator or governor after they've served in office a year or more. And so the eight senators that are Republican that are eligible for recall are being recalled. You need to collect about 25% of all the voters who voted in the last election. And then there's a recall election where there can be candidates against them if you get the number of signatures necessary. It looks like that will happen. And it's possible that the Democrats will take back control of the state Senate if there are three successful recall elections this spring. They would probably be in May or early June based on the legal timelines. Another area is that the governor also introduced a very draconian state budget that has extremely deep slashing cuts to education, health care, basically the whole social service safety net, and a bunch of corporate tax giveaways as well. And so there's a major movement developing to try to block that budget. Obviously, the best way to block it would be to switch control of the state Senate before it can be voted on. And so there is a lot going on. Governor Walker can be recalled by next January. And there's clearly a movement to recall Governor Walker when he is eligible for recall early next year.
We've been focusing on the state politics. Has President Obama addressed the issue of what's been happening in Wisconsin?
He's made a couple relatively minor comments. He's tried to stay out of the fray for the most part, and it's not consistent with the way he's trying to package himself currently, which is someone as a moderate who can appeal across partisan lines. He did happen to be being interviewed by Milwaukee television reporter Charles Benson right after the crisis started, and made a remark that he thought it looked like an attack on unions, and that got a lot of play. He made a couple of weeks later that were generally supportive. Some have felt that he hasn't been nearly supportive enough of the workers, but there's also a school of thought, actually, that wouldn't have been helpful, that would have made it more of a partisan issue and would have elevated Governor Walker further if a president is making his actions a major issue. So there has been much discussion of whether Obama should have said more or not, or whether it would have been helpful or not, but what he's done, he's made a couple remarks that are generally supportive of the workers, but has generally stayed quiet most of the time.
Through the Wall Street collapse and through the bank bailouts and the continued bonuses paid to bank executives, the American public has seemed to remain relatively passive. Are we finally seeing the beginning of a genuine resistance to the excesses of the right wing down there in the United States?
I think we are. I think it's a major opportunity. It's not inevitable, but I think the reaction in Wisconsin and nationally, which was unpredicted and very intense, went beyond workers' rights. Workers' rights became a surrogate, I think, for the growing insecurity of the American middle class, long-term unemployment and the fact that wages have stagnated for three decades while money has gone up the income scale. We've had greater and greater economic inequality. And I think that there was a general reaction that was expressed in terms of workers' rights, but was broader. So I think what that means is that there is a lot of possibility here for real movements developing that try to reestablish a more vibrant middle class and economic opportunity, and a lot of the lost economic security that we've had the last three decades, that those movements still need to take place and need to be successful. But I think that we are in a very different place now than we were even a couple months ago as far as the possibility of that happening and the possibility of such a movement being established, not only in Wisconsin, but across the whole country.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Robert.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I've been speaking with Robert Craig. He is Executive Director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin.